Invite you to turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're in the second epistle of our brother, looking at his life in the scriptures and the theme that seems to be there regarding our brother's life is follow thou me, what the Lord said unto him. He's told of something by our Lord that is really special in that when he is converted, strengthen the brethren, and indeed our brother is doing so even for us. In this day, the Lord used him to write his word. And here we come to this thing, this main point, a foundational tenet, a great foundation stone for the people of God. This is something that if you're saved, you need to know this. You need to know this that you might know how to walk and what your Lord expects of you. You need to know this so you can be a witness of the Lord to a lost and dying world of the truth. And so our brother has told us in this first chapter that while he's in this tabernacle, verse number 13, he's going to looks to stir us up by putting us in remembrance, reminding us of something. He says that the Lord showed him how he's going to die. But he's looks to endeavor that we might have the things that he has spoken about in remembrance. And so it's interesting, having thought that in his pursuit, in his desire, and what he sees his calling and mission, a part of that is, he begins then to speak about something in particular. He says in verse number 16, we've not followed fables of mythology. We've not followed some real tricky and real convoluted stories. We've not followed those kind of things, but we've followed the Lord, and namely, if you will, allow me to paraphrase, what he has said. He goes there to the Mount of Transfiguration. He recalls back about that. And what was it that they came away with at the end from the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When you look to hear somebody, what do you hear? You hear their words. You hear what they say. You hear what they write. And it's not speaking about the deaf person can't be a participant in this. I'm talking about hearing what God has said through his word and from the mouth of the Lord through different ones that he has used. The working of the Spirit and all that which our Lord has spoken in, that we would hear what he has said. He talks about the Holy Mount, the voice that came in verse number 18. And we come to our consideration tonight in verse number 19. We have also, we right now, I think he's saying, we right now have also a more sure word of prophecy. And what's he say about that word of God? That prophecy that has come from our Lord? He said, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You do well if you take heed. If you and I don't take heed, we will suffer for it. We will not be found in the will and way and word of our Lord. Because that's the only place of blessing. That's the only place of hope. That's the only place of life, is to be found there in the Word of God. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. He says here, you do well if you heed it, if you hearken it. You must hear it, and you and I must obey it. It's that important. When we talk about being found in the midst of it, we're not just speaking about knowledge of it and being able to be like an encyclopedia to give the Word of God back, but taking it to heart and to life in our hearts and our minds and using it in our lives. He said, you do well that you take heed. I want to jump forward into chapter 3. As this thought goes through this book, he ends up with it even in chapter 3 of this short book. Let's back up verse number 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and indeed it is. There's time for salvation, souls to be saved. It's time to labor on, to reach those unsaved with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He said there's another brother writing. He says, listen to what he says about such writing. In the New Testament time, the Old Testament time it's settled, it's done, it's passed, it's happened. The Word of God was established and the Lord worked and preserved it in the canon of Scripture that we need there some 400 years before this. It was there, it was settled from the standpoint of the Old Testament Scriptures, but the New Testament is being written about. And he says, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, to us, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, same things that Peter's been talking about, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, is it talking about unlearned in the things of the world? No, unlearned in the Scriptures. Unlearned in the Word of God. And granted, it is a truth that our physical, the education that we have upon this word, upon this world, can be a hindrance to us in being able to read and comprehend the Word of God. It can be. They're connected there. But you know what? There are men that never knew how to read that had the Word of God read to them, and by the calling and power of the Lord were great preachers for our Lord. And so the Word of God can be received. He says, they that are unlearned in the Scriptures, unlearned in the Scriptures and unstable in the Scriptures. What do? They rest. They twist. They turn. They fight against it. They rest. They are unlearned. They're unstable. They've not fed. They've not had the Word of God. You know how the Word of God can have an impact in the life? By the Spirit of God being within and moving to help it to be understood, to be applied. It is a spiritual thing. You know, now, the moral commandment and the Word of the Lord can be a blessing even to the heathen. Because the Word of God is true. Don't be a thief, and you'll have more blessing than being a thief. But for understanding and application of the full counsel and Word of God, there must be the work of the Spirit indeed. And those without the Spirit indeed will take the Word of God and they will wrestle against it. They will twist against it. If you will, the Word of God comes into the child of God whose heart is right and in a sense puts its arms around them and they say, yes, this is good. This is where I need to be. But all of us have seen a disobedient child, maybe looking to escape from the one that's looking to chastise them. And that parent or that loved one or that overseer would come to lay their hands on them. And what do? They twist out from under them. And those that are unstable in the Scriptures, that's what they do. They wrestle out of the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God applied to them. As John chapter 3, and our Lord speaks to brother Nicodemus. Nicodemus at that time not saved and was saved. But as he speaks to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, those that don't love the Lord don't love the light. They don't come to the light. They rest against the light. They twist against the light. And may the Lord help us that we not be unlearned and unstable in the Word of God. We need the Lord's help in this. We need to realize and understand that we need our Lord's help. We need the Spirit to move. I pray often that our Lord would convict us. The Lord would convict us, Olmsted Baptist Church, each and every member, because we need conviction from the Lord, don't we? We need conviction from our Lord about what His Word says, that it's true and nothing else matters. And by comparison, you know what? Those who are unsaved, they need conviction too, don't they? They need conviction from the Lord that His Word is true and that they are sinners. They are without hope in and of themselves, and that Christ is the Savior and He's the answer. But our brother writes and closes out this book with this thought that those, the Word being even brought by Brother Paul, it speaks to us. Some of it hard to be understood, but the unlearned and unstable rest. Listen, as they do also the other scriptures, the Old Testament too, and the other writings, the other epistles. Our brother makes it clear here in verse number 16 that the epistles written by the apostles are the scripture of God. He says other scriptures. The epistle written by Paul, in kind, the epistle of our brother Peter writing is the scripture, other scriptures, to their own destruction. And that's the sad end of those that don't receive the Word of God, don't believe the Word of God, and wrestle, unstable in it, not convinced of it, and they wrestle and twist against it. They will be destroyed. They destroy themselves. You and I are always compromised when we fuss and wrestle against the Word of our Lord. So back in chapter 1, in verse number 19, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's solid. It is complete. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of Jesus Christ. Whereunto ye do well." We do well that we take heed. If we take heed, we do well. If we do not take heed, we do not do well. He says, what's this word of prophecy doing? It's as a light shining in a dark place. That's the testimony that John gave about Jesus, wasn't it? That the Word was in the beginning, and the Word is the light. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And he says this here, writing to the saints, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." He says, just like the Lord challenged me, child of God, to be converted, to get over being halted between two opinions, that of self and the world and that of the Lord. He said, that's what I desire for you, that the bright light of the Lord would dawn, would rise in your hearts, and you would be convicted about the Word of our Lord. Be converted like our brother was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, that of speaking greatly about charity. Without charity, our service and walk with the Lord, this chapter tells us, is nothing. We can do great things for our Lord, but if it not be with charity and because of love with legs on it, it is nothing. It is vain. It is jangling. Related passage here we want to read in verse number 8 of this chapter, in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. "Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail." And our brother's speaking about how it was there at the time of the transition, if you will, the time of this New Testament, the time of the keys of the kingdom being taken away from Israel, and the Lord working in Israel to make them jealous by establishing in His church, and even the gospel going out to the Gentiles, and no matter what race, no matter what creed, no matter what part of the world, no matter what your background, and salvation and the gospel goes forth unto all men, and the Lord building His church to be the place, the repository of the keys of the kingdom, if you will, that from there the Word of God might go forth. He's not talking about the prophecies of the Old Testament. They have not failed, nor will they fail. But those prophets that were at hand in those days, there'll come a time there won't be any prophet. We don't have any prophets now, because we don't need any prophets now. We've got the good Word of God and everything that we need to know for this day. He says, so we don't be confused about that. "Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, And there were that gift, there was that gift of tongues. Not unknown tongues, but the ability to speak and preach, and by the interpretation and work of the Spirit of God, others of other nationalities could hear in their own native tongue. It was done early on by the Lord for the church that the gospel would go out to all those nations around the Mediterranean. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. They're going to stop. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And that there would be understanding by men of things in that time. And Brother Agabus coming about and telling about Paul, the owner of this girdle, is going to be bound unto Rome, or bound in Jerusalem. It's going to go away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And it's believed that this is a reference to the Word of God. We don't need those transitional things that our Lord did, because now we've got the good Word of God here in our midst. We've got it. It's readily. It's ready. It agrees. It supports itself. And it is from the Lord. It's obvious that it is. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When these things were in there, when the church was, the beginning of the church was in its infancy, and the Lord, and understand, the Lord started His church in the day of His ministry, not at Pentecost. But He started it in the day of His ministry. He revealed it and sanctioned it before the world on Pentecost. But she was already there working and founded in existence. And as they went out and they were persecuted and went out, and other churches were established, and the Word of God, the New Testament Scriptures were written, it wasn't a time to be infantile in those things anymore. But in time, in decades, the operation and work of the church was settled and founded and received by others and passed on to other generations. It went from a time from being new in the day of our Lord and the day of His ministry to being settled and established and having the Word of God going forward until Jesus comes back. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Because you got the Word of God. You got what Jesus has given. You got what the Spirit of God has inspired. That's enough. That is indeed enough. It is the best. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Understand, our brother is writing to the church at Corinth. They don't have the New Testament like we do today. You know, we've got to slow down and think about context and what's going on in that time and what's being done. This is, if we understand it right, is maybe somewhere in the, it's in the latter part of the Apostle Paul's ministry. I don't know if he writes to the church at Corinth from Rome as he does to other churches. It seems like it's maybe earlier. And so they don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in front of them necessarily. They don't have the book of Acts. It's happening. It's happening. And so understand that. You and I see more than they did because we've got it all here and we've had it all our lives. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We know more about our Lord. And certainly when we're with Him face to face, we'll know Him, and when we're with the saints, indeed. But the Word of God, it gives us sight and gives us vision and gives us understanding that the Lord has and He gives to us. And this is interesting. Always remember this. Always remember this. This is totally aside. But this is what our Lord gives us through our brother. Verse 13 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and now abideth faith in our Lord, hope in our Lord, and charity, love with legs on it. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. May the Lord help us to remember that. It's very easy for us to take other things that we think are greater and make them, raise them up in priority and thought. But faith in our Lord, hope in our Lord, and His great love for us, and that example that we should love Him and we should love our brethren and love sinners that are without Christ, to love our neighbor as ourself, as our Lord did. Love with legs on it is the greatest of these things that remain. So we come back here to 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 20. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, and hear those words, prophecy of the Scripture. In the chapter 3 of this book, we saw that our brother refers to the epistles written by Brother Paul and himself, and of course, we understand others are the Scriptures of the Lord. And he says here, the prophecy of that Scripture, when it was first given, as it is being given now, as it was given in the past, listen, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not what you say and also what I say. It's what the Lord says that it means. Because, see, it's been given by the Lord, which we'll see that in the next verse. We can't take the Word of God and bring it over here and brutalize it and mutilate it and bend it into what we want it to say. And what we want it to mean, rather. It's what the Lord has given. And that's the reason we need Scripture to interpret Scripture. And we need the work of the Spirit of God, the Comforter in His church, a blessing that we have to take the Word of God and apply it and understand how to apply it and to be reminded of it and to use it, honoring and glorifying to our Lord. He said, know that first, that it's not your word and my word, it's the Word of God. And it means what God says. God says what He means and means what He says. He says, because in verse 21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That's the reason it's not of a private interpretation. This is not Homer's writing, or Plato, or Socrates. That's what they were used to in that day. It's not the philosophy of men. Understand, it's beyond that. It's not that of men. It didn't come in old time by the will of man, but holy men... holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how it came. And I think our brother is certainly making it clear to us that's how it's coming now. And that's Peter speaking. Not now here in our day. It has come. But in his day, it's coming now. Holy men of God. Brother Peter was a holy man of God, wasn't he? Or isn't he? Not was he. I'm not trying to talk about those fellows in the past tense, because it's not that way. God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now. They're alive. Brother Peter is a holy man of God. And you know what? Those Old Testament brethren, those Old Testament writers, whether it was Moses that wrote those first five books and the Lord gave him all of that and moved in him, or the other prophets, or a young man sitting there near Job and his three friends that tried to comfort him and did nothing but grind him in the ground. Or other brethren that were there and wrote about the lives and the small pieces or the large pieces about the different prophets' lives. It was done so by the Spirit of God. It was given by the Spirit of God. And they were holy men used of our Lord. You think about the New Testament. Who were those holy men used by our Lord? Well, Brother Matthew, and he was an apostle, wasn't he? And you got Brother Mark. Brother Mark wasn't an apostle. But I tell you what, according to what we've read, I believe that we could say he was a prophet in his day. Because the Lord gave him the Gospel of Mark. And he wrote it, and we have it today. What about Brother Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts? Where the book of Acts, as he writes, he tells about that history of the first church and beyond, and he's writing about it and writing about it and writing about it in the separated tense. I can't recall what that's called, but then makes that transition by the time of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and thereabouts he says, we. And he begins to refer to himself as being part of the group. He's a prophet, isn't he? A prophet of the Lord in that day. There wouldn't be other prophets after Brother Mark and Brother Luke. There would be no necessity for them because the Word of God would be established for this New Testament time, for this church age. What about Brother John? Brother John, having written, being an apostle and having written the Gospel of John, having written his epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, as we refer to them, in the book of the Revelation. A holy man moving, speaking as he was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Paul, namely writing all the epistles to the churches, from the book of Romans to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Our Lord used this apostle, this Jew, saved by his grace and called into this work, a witness to the Gentiles, praise God. And he's given us what we need to operate in the Lord's churches. He also wrote to preacher brethren, did he not? Brother Timothy and Brother Titus. Great books that help us about living and the call to the ministry and again the charge to learn what? To learn the Word of God. To apply the Word of God. We got Brother James that's in there. One book, a small book, but a powerful book. Amen? Hebrews, which we attribute most likely to one of these brethren. And then as we've seen, Brother Peter, an apostle also, and then Brother Jude writing a short book, but again, a powerhouse in so few words. You know why? It's the Spirit of God that's speaking to us, using these men to write unto us. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of our Lord. We'll close with Ephesians chapter 4. We see our Lord's work and this connection, I think, that's made more outlined for us and revealed unto us in this thought that our brother gives us, this understanding he gives us, the thing that he wants to stir us about and remind us about, that the Word of God is supreme. It is our only rule of faith and practice here at Olmsted Baptist Church. That's what we need to follow. It's only rule of faith and practice in our lives, is it not? In our families, our homes, our lives. And we see here, by consideration of these brethren that the Lord used and moved upon, and we now have the Word of God, the New Testament, not only the Old, which is a blessing indeed, all telling, foretelling what Christ would do, the New Testament now telling what Christ has done and what He's established and how we should function and how we ought to operate in the Lord's church. We see here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8, whereunto he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, gifts indeed. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? And I believe, we've talked about this in recent time, that our Lord, I believe it's talking about him coming to this earth as a man. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. He is the all in all. He's the Savior, Creator, our great God and King, King of kings, Lord of lords. And he gave some apostles, and he used them, and he spoke through them. And we have his good word today and his use of them. Look at this. He gave some prophets, and we consider about Brother Mark and Brother Luke. Indeed, he did. The Holy Scriptures that they wrote and that we have. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. There are no more apostles. Don't let anybody tell you so. We don't have any more. They were for that time. The Lord used them to do that transition time in the beginning of the church there and the churches first being established. There's no more prophets. We've got the word of the prophets. We've got the word of God given unto us by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you know what? We do have some evangelists, don't we? We support some as missionaries. They do the work of evangelists in those regions. They preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those without Christ. And they look to establish churches. And he said, we've got pastors, don't we? And we've got teachers, don't we? Praise be to God. These are the gifts of our Lord. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, that we might grow up, that we not be tossed to and fro anymore, that we not give away those, put away those childish things and go on to being a man. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the Lord's ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, we need built up. As the body of the Lord and the building of our Lord, we need, in that thought of a building, we need some tuck pointing and we need some cleaning, don't we? And we need some painting, if you will. And how do we have that? By the Word of God. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and that's what we need. Until we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect, mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a tall order. It'll take you a lifetime. And at your last breath and death to go on and be with the Lord, you will have not got it all done. But you know what? We're to try. We're to pursue. We're to ask our Lord to help us to attain. And may the Lord help us here in our church. That we henceforth, as I said, mentioned earlier, be no more children tossed to and fro. How will we be able to grow from being children in our Lord to be growing to be adults and mature in our Lord? By the Word of God. By the Word of God, taking it, receiving it, believing it. That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why? We're not carried about because we go to the Word of God and say, that's true, that's not true. Try the spirits, as Brother John said. Not every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Remember, Brother Peter said, we don't follow cunningly devised fables, but a foundation of God's Word that's settled in heaven forever. He says, these prophets that go out, John speaks of them too, sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But we need to speak the truth in love. We need to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, our leader, our Savior, our Lord, our Father, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, He's designed it and He's put us together and we're here to nourish one another, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Interesting that that's there at the end, isn't it? We saw about the fruit of the Spirit, those things to add to our faith, the greatest that remains. And understand, it is the greatest. It is not to the other things are not to the exclusion of love, charity, and charity is not to the exclusion of other things. As our Lord says, these you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. We're called to a full bill of what our Lord has given us. So, the Word of God. The Word of God is everything. The Word of God is the means by which we know everything that is eternal and spiritual. And may our Lord help us that we will hold to it and hear it and believe it and trust our Lord in it, even when it seems like the application of it is impossible to us. That the application of it, when it seems to our old man and our old flesh and these physical eyes, seems like that just can't work. May we believe our Lord that if He's told us it'll work, it will work.